was not in vain. But even after that we have suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness, nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you, not of the gospel of God only, but also of our own souls, because you were dear unto us. For you remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and all, God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we have behaved ourselves among you that ye that believe. As you know, how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom in glory. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God which ye heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. For ye, brethren, became followers of the churches of God which is in Judea, are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews, who both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, and have persecuted us, and that they please not God, and are contrary to all men, forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles, that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath has come upon them to the uttermost. But we, brethren, being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart, endeavor the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Wherefore we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once again, but Satan hindered us. For what is our hope, or joy, or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye are our glory and joy. Let's pray, dear Lord God. Just thank you for this time we have tonight, Lord, to hear the preaching of your word. Just please bless this service, Lord. Please bless Pastor. Fill him with your spirit. Give him boldness, Lord, as he preached your word unto us, Lord. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, we're in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2 this evening. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 3. It says, for our exhortation was not of deceit, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak not as pleasing men, but God which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time used we flattering words, as you know, nor a cloak, of covetousness. God is witness. And the title of my sermon this evening is Beware of the Flatterer. Beware of the Flatterer. What is flattery? Well, flattery is essentially referring to excessive and insincere praise that is given with an ulterior motive. And obviously, most of the time it has the connotation that it's someone who is essentially praising you. They are giving you excessive compliments because they're trying to get something from you. And the idea here is that flattery is often associated with deception. So whatever compliment they're giving you, it's actually not true about you, okay? Whatever praise they're giving you, they don't really believe it. They're saying it in order to deter detection from their true motives. What is it that they want from you? They're trying to take advantage of you. They want you to believe a specific lie. Therefore, they will flatter you in order to get it. And it's important for us as Christians to beware of this particular tactic and method of individuals who will seek to flatter us in order to get something from us. Psalm chapter 12, you don't have to turn there. And verse number 3 says, the Lord shall cut off all flattering lips and the tongue that speaketh proud things. Obviously, God wants us to be honest. He wants us to be people of truth. He wants us to be people who love to be sincere and truthful and honest. And he abhors when people are seeking to deceive others, right? And that's exactly what a flatterer does. Let me start off by saying that flatterers, in general, will target simple people, okay? Now, simple in the Bible is referring to someone who's without understanding. Could also be referring to someone who's just stupid, someone who is dumb, someone who is without understanding, someone who is just spiritually immature. And believe it or not, flatterers like to target simple people because of the fact that the simple believeth every word, right? And is punished. So they will often target those who are unstable, those who are babes in Christ, because of the fact that they don't necessarily have a strong foundation. They don't necessarily have a whole lot of discernment. And let me just say this is that, you know, when I first got saved, I didn't really know about, you know, this whole thing of flattery. It wasn't necessarily something that was on my radar. And in fact, you know, the church that I went to, they didn't really talk about flattery a whole lot. And I feel like they probably didn't even know much about it. They didn't really train their congregation on how to detect flattery, how to detect that type of deception. And so I feel like, you know, in the early years of my Christian life, I was very much susceptible to flattery and that type of deception. And in the old IFB, it kind of runs rampant. I'll just be honest with you. Okay. And I remember specifically, you know, and obviously when we're talking about flattery here, there's all types of degrees. There's, you know, just extreme flattery because these people are just evil and wicked. They're false prophets. But sometimes it's just flattery from an individual who just, you know, is trying to get you to do something. It's not necessarily bad, but they're just being insincere in their praise towards you because they want you to do something for them. Okay. Obviously that's dishonest. It's wrong, but some people just do it. Not necessarily because they're false prophets or reprobates. It's just they have a lack of character. They're using this as a tool to get something from someone. And I remember being at my old church. And in my old church, we used to have what's called bus ministry. We'd pick up kids for church and all this. And so kids would stay at church for just, you know, hours on end. And it was great. You know, bring them to Sunday school class. You bring them to church services. You keep them all afternoon for the afternoon program. And then you feed them, they go to night church, and so, you know, the attendances are up, everything's going great, but then someone has to take them home, right? And so, you know, sometimes it's just like, oh, you know, the buses bring them in, but you got to take them home. And so we're talking about 300, 400 kids. There's a lot of kids that come to through these bus ministries. And obviously, not all 400 stay, but let's just say out of those 400, you have about 100, you know, 50 to 100 kids that stay back for night church. These kids need rides. And so I remember there's a guy who was kind of in charge of, you know, the bus ministry, and he would always come up to me. Okay. And you know, night church, you're kind of just ready to go. It's been a long day. You've been serving at your church. And so I'm just like, I'm ready to finish off the day. And this guy would always come up to me. He's just like, brother, how's it going? You know, and initially it's just like, man, this guy's really nice. He really cares. This guy really does love me, you know? Because he acted like he was really interested in how my day went. And he's just like, brother, how's it going? You know? How's bus ministry? How's Bible college going? You know, and I'm thinking to myself, oh, you know, and he was older. He was very, you know, popular, so to speak. Like people knew about this guy. He was very well known for his hard work, starting ministries. And so it kind of meant something that this guy was just, you know, recognizing you in a church of 1,000 and wanted to come talk to you. And so he would do this for a couple minutes and just kind of talk about Bible college, ask me about how things are going. And I'm just, you know, telling him how everything's going. And then he's like, hey, can you do me a favor, you know? I got like 10 kids that I need to take home. Can you take those? And I'm thinking to myself, like, 10 kids? So that means I got to go take 5 first, then come back. And then, and I'm like, yeah, sure, why not? You know, I'll do it. So this happened, like, for a really long time, okay? And it got to a point that after a while, you know, after the Sunday evening service, I'd see him, and I'm just like, I got to get away from this guy because I know what he's going to do. You know, because I just knew that he was going to come ask for a favor. And after a while, I kind of knew, like, I don't think he really cares how my classes are going at Bible college. I don't think he actually really cares how my day went. And here's, and it wasn't like, oh, I read this in the Bible and I understood what the Bible said about flattery. It was just kind of discerning, right? It was kind of like just common sense after a while. And here's the thing that I really detected when he came to me, is that there was nothing behind the eyes. Whenever I would talk to him, you know, whenever I would give my responses to him, he was just like looking through me. And it's almost as if he was just waiting for me to finish whatever it is that I was saying. And what I should have like tested him, you know what I mean? Like, what did I just say, you know? Because I'll be honest with you, he probably wouldn't be able to repeat everything that I told him because he was probably just flattering me the entire time. He was. So I remember, you know, there'd be times when he would come up And I'm like, man, I got to get out of here before so-and-so comes, you know, because I know he's going to ask me and I got things to do, whatever. And obviously, I have no problem with taking people home, but I have a slight problem with taking 20 kids home, though, you know. And so that's a lot. So after a while, I would see him like way over there and he's just like, brother, and I'm just like trying to duck and dodge him, like trying to avoid him as much as possible. But obviously, looking back, I realized like, oh, man, this guy was a major flatterer. I don't think he was a false prophet. I don't think he was like a reprobate or anything like that. I just think he used flattery as a weapon to get what he wanted. You understand? And you know what? You need to be aware of people like this in your personal lives, at your job, within your family. And yes, even at church, there can be a tendency for people to weaponize flattery in order to get something from you. And this is why it's important that we as God's people are just sincere, right? Now, don't misunderstand me. You know, sometimes you hear something like this. It's like, oh, if flattery is excessive and insincere praise, then I'm just going to be a jerk. That way no one really confuses me for being a flatterer, you know. I'm just going to be an absolute jerk. I'm just going to sling insults or whatever. Don't go the opposite extreme. Just be real, right? Just be a real person. And if someone does a good job, praise that person, be a blessing to that person. But don't have this excessive and insincere praise that just sounds fake, okay? And again, this is a thing in churches. The Bible tells us you don't have to turn there. Well, actually, go to Romans chapter 16, if you would. Romans chapter 16, 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14 says, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls, and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Obviously, in context, this is referring to the false prophet who is seeking to destabilize someone who's already unstable. And the way they do it is by flattering them, telling them things that they would want to hear, being insincere in their praise and in their compliments in order to deter their attention from what they truly want from this individual. And so it's important for us as Christians to grow in our discernment in that area, right? Have our senses exercised to discern both good and evil. And I'm thankful that in a church like ours, we can detect flattery to a certain degree, but you'd be surprised, you know? There's people who have come through our church, and as experts as we are and being able to detect flattery, you know, some people go under the radar, and you don't really notice it until, you know, they kind of expose themselves to be the wicked people that they are. And I'll give you an example of this. There's a guy who used to come to our church a couple years ago, and this guy was just an absolute idiot, okay? He's just an idiot. And he's gone from our church. He's been excommunicated. Super wicked person. And, you know, but this person, when he first came, he came to introduce himself to me, and he was just like, man, I love you. I love your stuff. Your preaching is just so amazing. And, you know, and at first I'm like, oh, okay, cool, thanks. You know, I appreciate the fact that you like the preaching. And then, you know, it's one of those things where you're just like, all right, let's move on. Let's talk about something else, you know. But then he would always come back to, man, you're just like my favorite. You're just like my, and I'm just like, all right, now it's kind of starting to feel a little uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And so it's uncomfortable. And then, you know, I just kind of wrote it off as this guy is just kind of like, you know, he's a babe in Christ or something. He's just, you know, you just kind of give it the benefit of the doubt. You don't automatically write them off as being a wicked person. So this person stayed in our church for quite some time, caused a lot of trouble. It eventually was removed. And it's not until he was removed that a lot of people came forward and said, you know what? That guy flattered me a lot, actually. You know, in one instance, like one guy in our church, he was just like, man, that guy told me I had beautiful eyes. I'm like, yeah, that you should have like recognized that when he, was it you who said that? Oh yeah, he told you that you had beautiful, but he also told Jonathan Lee that he had beautiful eyes. You know, so he's kind of, you know, he's kind of talking out of both sides of his mouth. It's just, first of all, it's kind of gay, you know what I mean? Yeah. You know, and he's just like, wow, you just got the most beautiful eyes ever or something, you know? And you kind of wonder, like, what is up with this guy? But obviously, he's just prone to flattery. And make no mistake about it, when he would flatter someone, he would then talk crap about their behind their back thereafter. And this is exactly what the flatterer does. He overly compliments you. He gives you this excessive praise because he's trying to distract you from the fact that he's talking crap behind your back. He doesn't want to arouse any suspicion of who he really is. Okay. And this is exactly what this person did. He would do this all the time. And make no mistake about it, he ended up being a really wicked person. He got removed from the congregation for other reasons. But we need to beware of the flatterers. They go after the simple. And obviously, they will attack just anybody in general, but they will specifically target simple people because the simple believeth every word. So, you know, you could be flattered by someone as a new Christian, and then, you know, you think to yourself, like, oh, wow, you know, this mature Christian just, like, is saying all these great things about me, and he must be a really awesome person, a really great person. But really, no, they're probably trying to get something out of you, okay? Be sincere, but don't be overly excessive in your compliments towards other people. And obviously, you as an individual, you need to be aware when people are like that towards you. Romans chapter 16, verse 18 says, "For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple." Now, what does it mean when he says fair speeches? Speech, obviously, we can say that what I'm giving at this moment is a speech, right? It's a sermon, but it's also a speech. A fair speech, fair in the Bible, is often associated with that which is beautiful, right? When the Bible talks about an attractive woman, it often say that she's fair to look upon. So a fair speech is basically like he speaks very beautifully, right? He is elaborate in his speech. He speaks beautifully. Well, the Bible says here that false prophets will use good words and fair speeches, you know, he speaks in a beautiful manner in order to deceive the hearts of those who don't have understanding, those who are simple. It's very important for us to understand this. So, you know, as a Christian, if you're new to the faith, you know, you need to pray and also grow in your discernment. You need to be able to read the Bible, learn about these things. And again, you know, part of learning the topic of flatterers is you're going to have to kind of like learn the subject of false prophets as well, because that is a major tactic of false prophets, is that they will use flattery in order to deceive others. They use flattery in order to manipulate, and they'll use flattery in order to trap you. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 5 says, "A man that flattereth his neighbor spreadeth a net for his feet." What is that referring to? Well, it's saying that he's setting a trap for you. So if you find someone at your job that is excessively praising you, a coworker or something, number one, maybe he's trying to trap you in something. You say, how would that work? Well, maybe he's trying to get you to let your guard down so you can say something that you shouldn't say and then kind of rat you out later on or something like that, or hold it against you later on. The point that I'm making here is that you need to beware when people are acting this way towards you, because they are putting a trap below your feet. They're trying to, you know, instigate you or provoke you to say something because, hey, this guy's cool. He's not going to say anything. He seems to be a sincere person. He seems to like me. He's praising me. And then you say something, the next day you're having an appointment with HR or something, you know. You know, what's this racist meme that you sent or something, you know. What were you saying about black people, or, you know, what were you saying about Indians, or, you know, what are you saying about this, that, and the other? And it's just like, how did this person, oh, the guy who was like flattering me, you know, in order to move up to the top in the company, he's trying to remove individuals, and he got you. He's spreading a net for your feet. Psalm chapter 5 and verse number 9 says, "For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulcher. They flatter with their tongue." Now, what does it mean when it says that their throat is an open sepulcher? And how does that relate to them flattering with their tongue? Well, the Bible says that death and life are in the power of the tongue. So the Bible is saying here that when their throat is an open sepulcher, it means that they have death as an agenda, right? They're trying to destroy you. They're trying to bring death to you, and they will use flattery in order to do so. Flatterers also exaggerate in their compliments, again, as I mentioned, to deter attention from their true motives. Go to Matthew 22, if you would. Matthew chapter 22. Beware of the flatterer. Again, don't let this discourage you from complimenting people, praising people, you know. But at the same time, we just need to be aware that when these types of people are around us, and let me say this, probably the biggest way that you can train yourself to detect flattery is bad preaching, right? There's preaching out there that is just, all it is just flattery. okay? Flattery that comes, or preaching that comes from these non-denom type churches, these mega church pastors, they're just filled with, their whole sermon is just flattery, okay? It's not doctrinally sound. It's just a lot of excessive praise. Joel Osteen is the prime example of a flatterer, okay? There, he says nothing negative. It's all positive, and all he does is just flatter his congregation to get what he wants from them. Look at verse 15 of Matthew 22. Then went the Pharisees and took counsel how they might entangle him in his talk. And they sent out unto him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, Master, here comes the flattery. We know that thou art true and teachest the way of God in truth. Neither carest thou for any man, for thou regardest not the person of men. Is that sincere? No, they're trying to trap him. It says that they're trying to entangle him in his talk, and they begin with what? Excessive praise. Now, obviously, the Lord Jesus Christ is, you know, he understands that that's what they're doing. He's not being fooled by this. But the point is here is that we have a clear example of people seeking to flatter the Lord Jesus Christ in order to trap him in his words. Oh, you're true. The way you teach is true. You don't care about what people have to say about you. You don't regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? So that's really what they want to know. And the reason for this is because they want him to give some sort of admission that he's trying to usurp the government of his time, right? It says in verse 18, but Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, why tempt ye me, ye hypocrites? Show me the tribute money. And they brought unto him a penny. And he saith unto him, whose is this image and superscription? They say unto him, Caesar's. Then saith he unto them, render therefore unto Caesar the things which are Caesar's, and unto God the things which are God's. Of course, Jesus Christ is an expert at detecting flattery and was able to shut them down immediately. The point being here is that we need to pay attention to the words that people say, right? If people are excessively praising you, you know, and here's the thing is that, you know, you can't really just believe everything that people say about you, even if it's true, right? I'm saying, like, we can't believe the motives that they're coming with. So you kind of have to read between the lines sometimes. It's like, oh, man, you're really good at this. And in your mind, you're like, oh, yeah, I am kind of good at that, yeah. But why is this person specifically saying that, though, you know? What's the deal with this? And again, we're not trying to just be suspicious of everyone. I'm just saying have a discerning attitude where you don't just think, well, I'm just that great, and this is why people praise me. I'm just that great, and therefore that's why people compliment me. Well, you kind of have to read between the lines and figure out why is it that they're bringing this praise to you? Why is it that they're complimenting you excessively over and over and over again? Is it really because you're just doing a great job, or do they have an underlying motive? We need to beware of the flatterers. Now, flatterers also will even flatter themselves. Go to Psalm 36. So flatterers like to flatter others in order to get something from them, to lay a trap under their feet, you know, to get something from them, to take advantage of them or whatever it may be. But they will also flatter themselves in order to make themselves look humble. So this is another thing you got to worry about or look out for. And that is those who, you know, have this hyper-spiritual type of attitude where they just like to aura farm. And not because they're spiritual, it's because they're just basically flattering themselves, okay? And it's just like, you know, they have all the spiritual talk. They know exactly what to say. They just, you know, they're not involved in anything carnal or anything like that. They're just reading the Bible all the time. And, you know, if you're not careful, you can think to yourself, like, man, this person's really spiritual. But really what it is just hyper-spiritual behavior because of the fact that they're actually really sinful and wicked on the inside, and they don't want you to know that. Look at Psalm 36, verse 1. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes. For he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. So what is it saying? Like, he'll say all these spiritual things like, brother, I'm just a worm. Me? Oh, I'm just a poor old country boy. you know, I'm just, who am I? You know, I just love God. You know, I just try my best. And, you know, And, you know, on the outside, you may think like, wow, you know, man, I suck. This guy is like super spiritual. But really what it is that they're being hyper spiritual because really deep down inside, they're just wicked people. And, you know, the person that comes to mind was an evangelist of some of the church members who are here from Faithful Word. There was an evangelist who used to work at Faithful Word Baptist Church. And his name was Garrett Kirschway, okay? And Garrett Kirschway was probably one of the most hyper-spiritual people. And hindsight's 20/20. Like, looking back, you're like, dang, this guy was super hyper-spiritual. And, like, none of us could really detect it. Like, we didn't really notice it. Because I remember when Pastor Anderson started the church, he sent Garrett Kirschway to come here and to help us look for a building. He never found anything. He didn't find anything. The guy was just useless when he came. Okay. The one who found us the building was actually Alex Berea. Okay. He's the one who found us the El Monte building. I don't know if you're for that or against that. That makes him look good or bad. I don't know which one, you know, but he's the one who helped us find that building. But, you know, Garrett Kirschway was actually sent to come and help us, and he just didn't find anything. And I remember just spending time with him and, you know, being in his car, and he would have his King James Bible right there on the dashboard. And I'm like, oh, so, you have a goal for reading the Bible for this year? He's like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm reading it this many times. And he goes, sometimes I'll just read it at a stoplight, you know. And I was like, dang. I'm like the evangelist here. Like, Pastor Anderson is, like, entrusting me. Like, I'm watching reels at a red light, you know what I mean? I'm watching, like, you know, this guy's, like, reading the Bible during the red light. And I'm just like, man, I need to step it up or something. And I don't think I've ever read the Bible at a stoplight, by the way. But it made me think like, man, this guy's like super spiritual. This guy has it going on. And there's other things that he would do that just like made me think, and those around us, we thought like, this guy is like a spiritual giant. I remember he would come to preach. And you know, when the last song goes and the song leader is praying for the service, typically, the pastor or preacher is kind of ready on hand to come onto the stage, right? Like, he's just like here, or he's in the front, you know, he's trying to cut down on time. And as soon as the preacher's done preaching, you know, he comes up to the pulpit and then, you know, starts preaching. I typically stand like right here to just, you know, streamline and no dead time. Other people just sit in the front. You know, if we have a guest preacher, that's not what he would do. So this is what he would do. You know, we would have the service and they would be singing. And he would sit like back here. He would sit like right here. And then the guy would be praying and he's just like, amen. And he's like. And everyone's just like. And then he's just. And he had like some sort of limp leg or something. So he's just like. It's good to be here with everyone tonight, you know. And he's just, and everyone's just like in awe. Like Garrett, that the guy's got motion. It's like aura, you know. The aura is just crazy. It's just, but the guy was a complete phony. What does he do? He's flattering himself in order to make himself look spiritual before everyone else. Because deep down inside, the guy was just super wicked. The guy was a false prophet. So he had to do all this. And I remember like, I don't remember how long after that, but you know, I was talking to Pastor Stuckey after Garrett Kirschway was exposed. And you know, Pastor Stuckey was saying like, I remember that guy just like, you know, the pre-service, we're over here making racist jokes. He wasn't saying this, but you know, we're over here making racist jokes. Everyone's joking over here. Everyone's fellowshipping. Everyone's having a good time or whatever. And Garrett would just be there just reading his Bible. Just reading his Bible. And then Pastor Stuckey is just like, man, like I need to step it up. Like this guy's reading his Bible before the service. Like I'm not reading my Bible before the service. But why was he doing that? I'll tell you why. Because he was flattering himself. Because he's trying to make everyone else think that he's super spiritual when deep down inside he's just a real carnal piece of trash. Right? Now, again, I'm not saying that people who flatter themselves are false prophets. I'm just saying false prophets have that tendency. Okay? And I will say that, you know, babes in Christ do have that tendency to kind of be hyper-spiritual and flatter themselves because, you know, they want people to respect them. They want people to esteem them. They want to be viewed as someone who is just a spiritual giant. So they kind of overcompensate, right? They kind of become excessive in their speech and their behavior because they want everyone else to see how spiritual they really are. But let me just tell you, if you're a brand new Christian that just got saved within the last couple of years, just be real if you really want people to respect you. Just be real, be humble, be sincere. Don't think like, oh man, but if people see my flaws, you know, people don't really care about those things. What they care about is you being sincere, you know? And quite frankly, you know, sometimes people can just see through that nonsense as well. Because some people are just horrible at being fake. Okay? They're not that good. And so, you know, I'm all for being spiritual. I'm all for reading the Bible before the service. I'm all for doing your best to be the best Christian you can be. But I'm completely against you being fake and flattering yourself in your own eyes. Because at the end of the day, you're not fooling anybody. And often these people are some of the most, you know, self-righteous, judgmental people. They like to point out the beam in someone's eye or the mote in someone's eye, all the while having a beam in their own eye. These are often the people that will condemn you for a particular sin, all the while they're guilty of some excessive gross sin as well. You know, i.e. Roger Jimenez. You know, and so it's important for us to recognize the importance of just being sincere, be a real person. And obviously temper yourself, okay? Don't take that to the extreme and be so real that you're like inappropriate. So real that you are disrespectful. So real that, oh, I just want to show how real I am or whatever. Yeah, but have some discretion about yourself though too, okay? It tells us here in Psalm 36, verse 2, for he flattereth himself in his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. You know, that guy we threw out that I was talking about in the beginning, this guy was super excessive about flattering himself. He flattered others, and he liked to flatter himself. And it's funny because, you know, he was also excessive in his judgment towards others as well. I remember one time he was just like, hey, what do I do about my reprobate mom? And I'm thinking to myself, well, let's back up here first and foremost. Like, we're already talking about a conclusion that we haven't even, like, discussed. Do you know your mom? Oh, yeah, she's a reprobate for sure. She's a reprobate. Like, how do you know she's a reprobate? Well, because she rejected the gospel. Oh, I guess every person who rejects us at the door is a reprobate then, right? And then it's just like, you know, is that all? He's like, yeah, she's rejected it multiple times. I know for sure she is a reprobate. Just believe me. Just take my word for it, she's a reprobate. Well, he ended up bringing her to church, sweetest lady ever. Just the nicest lady you ever meet. And I'm just thinking to myself, like, this is the person that this guy was saying. First of all, if you think she's, why would you bring her to church, right? But she comes, sweetest lady ever. You know, but what was he doing? Projecting. You know, and I remember we would have these soul winning trips to a city called Barstow. Okay. And it's in the middle of nowhere. Marcos is from there. And, you know, it's like a desert. It's where Del Taco originated from. Just put it that way. Okay. So we would go soul winning there, and he joined us one time. And, you know, he had his band of flatterers with him as well in church who are no longer here either, who were also a bunch of idiots too, okay? These guys would always gather together and just kind of like try to figure out who's like the best Christian and all these things. You know, they're just super self-righteous, holier-than-thou, hyper-spiritual flatterers. So, you know, he was on this trip. And, you know, we had already gone to Barstow multiple times, so we kind of knew the area. We knew where to go. And, you know, he's just like, after we were done, he's like, so how long did we go out for? Like, oh, for 2.5 hours. Okay, what regions did we go to? Like, what parts did we go to? What's more receptive? I'm like, why are you asking this? And he's like, well, I need to report back. I'm like, to who? And he said to the guy that was in our church, which at the day was Moses. Okay, I'll just say that. I'm like, you need to report this back to, who's Moses? Like, who's that? Like, is he the one keeping track of the soul winning in our church or something? He's like, well, he needs to know in case, because we're scouting out the land for him to see if it's worthy enough for him to come out here and do some soul winning too. No kidding. That's what he said, right? He's like, that's why I need to know how many salvations we got an hour, how many we got every 30 minutes, in what particular region. And I just told him, I said, you know, I'm not giving you that info because I don't even know it. I said, and, you know, the entire time he's just hyper-spiritual. And I just ended up banning him from coming soul winning with us to Barstow. I was like, I don't want you here. So you're just, you can't come anymore because you're just annoying. And then he's like, when we were going soul winning, you know, Ulysses and I, we like to cut up. You guys obviously know that. I cut up with you guys all the time. But we love to cut up. We're like, you know, because we're funny. You know, we just like to cut up. And, you know, we're getting out of the car and Ulysses and I are cutting up. And it's always these hyper-spirituals that have a problem with that, right? Oh, it's so funny. Why are you guys laughing? Well, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. And so he's just like, I'm assuming you guys are going to go together because you guys just like to laugh together. Is that what it is? This is what he said. I was like, no, you and I are going together, actually. You know, because I want to see how you soul win now. So we're out soul winning. And then, you know, I'm preaching the gospel to this lady. And, you know, sometimes when people open the door, they don't open it all the way, right? Sometimes they'll like crack it, but they're listening. So I'm just kind of like this, and I'm just like leaning on the door, showing her, right, the verses. So after I was done, he's like, so what's the reasoning behind leaning on the door? Does that help the gospel presentation more? You know, does that make it more so that people, and I'm just like, no. You know, it's just, what do you, stupid question. But then you look back and you're like, oh, this guy was just being hyper-spiritual the whole time, you know? And, you know, it's no wonder that he spent his time around a bunch of hyper-spiritual, holier-than-thou. And, you know, his group leader guy, this guy was also a super hyper-spiritual person that, you know, I remember one time, and actually Brother Dylan, you know, he's here visiting with us. You know, Dylan had come to our church for the first time. I don't know, how long ago was that? Yeah, when you first came. 4 years ago. Thank you, Christian. So about 4 years ago, he came to our church 4 years ago. He got saved in our church. And, you know, Dylan was just worldly, okay? Little kind of like right now. No, I'm just kidding. No, he was like really worldly, you know, because he's just gotten saved, right? But he was excited about church. He was excited about soul winning. And, you know, he just didn't know a whole lot of stuff, right? Like, you know, people just don't know stuff. And it's not like he was necessarily reached to the new IP, so he was kind of like not necessarily attuned to what, you know, the standards were in the church and so forth. So he was bringing friends, and he brought this one guy to church, right? And I was preaching against homos that day. And, you know, I went to go meet him. And, you know, I was talking to Dylan, the guy was right there, and the guy was just staring me down the whole time. He's just like, and I'm thinking to myself, like, yeah, you know, fags this, and they can't get saved, and blah, blah, blah. And he's just, like, staring at it. Well, Dylan tells me afterwards that he's, like, a homo and stuff. Now, don't get mad at Dylan. He didn't know. You know what I mean? He just thought, you know. And then, you know, I preached against sodomites, and then Dylan pulled me aside, like, later on. He's just like, hey, I just want to let you know that guy was a sodomite or, like, a former sodomite. Obviously, we don't believe him before, but he's, like, he claims not to be a one anymore, but he's, like, a Christian now, but he he's a sodomite. And I was like, okay, just don't ever bring him again. I was like, it's not your fault. You didn't know. I said, but, and he's like, so should I just cut off all, like, contact? I'm like, yeah, for sure. Like, no Christian should ever have any fellowship with homos and reprobates and super dangerous, and gave him the lowdown. And he's like, all right. He's like, I will never bring him again. I'll cut ties with him. I won't be his friend anymore. I'm like, amen. And I was, you know, I was really proud of Dylan for doing that, you know, because a lot of people, they can't handle that. They're all like, you know, oh, you know, they get all sad about it or whatever. But he was just like, all right, yeah, I'll never do it again. And I was really proud of him. Like I was, you know, when you see Christian growth, it warms your heart, right? Part of Christian growth is just making decisions like that. So then, you know, I'm walking out and I just, you know, I want to talk about this decision he made. I want to tell people because he was still fairly new. So he like walks off and then I pull Moses aside, and I was just like, man, this guy is growing. I was like, he had this sodomite friend, and I told him what the Bible says about sodomites, and he's just like, I'm cutting that off. I'm not going to be his friend anymore. He's like, oh, I'm surprised you even had a sodomite friend. I'm just like, bro, you know, how about you just like, you know, rejoice? Instead of like tearing him down, the guy doesn't know better. He comes from the world. Isn't it just great that he just severed this godless relationship with this friend that he had who was just a reprobate? Can't you just like praise him for that? Oh, but he's just so, so spiritual. What is he doing? He's flattering himself because he wants people to be like, wow, this guy. He doesn't care that he severed that relationship. He's surprised they even had a sodomite friend. Oh! But this is how people are. They have this fake humility. This fake humility, but in actuality, they're super hyper-spiritual. They're self-righteous. And most of the time, they don't even have a spiritual bone in their body. You know, they want to talk about all this Bible. They probably don't even read the Bible. They probably sleep in and behind closed doors. They're just a different Christian. You know what that's called? It's called being a hypocrite. That's what it's called. It's called you are a hypocrite. You want to portray to everyone else that you're godly, you're so righteous, your behavior and your conduct is so on par with the Bible, but if we were to look at you at home behind closed doors, we'd see a different picture. So how do I fix that? Just be the person you are at all any given time. You say, are you the same? Ask my wife if I'm the same person. Who I am now is who I am at home, is who I am when I'm there. In fact, I'm a little more rough down there than I am up here sometimes. Bible says, let no man beguile you of your reward in voluntary humility, worshiping of angels, intruding those things which you have not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. So what do we see here? We see flatterers not only will try to flatter others in order to deceive them, they will flatter themselves, they will puff themselves up before others because they want people to think that they're more spiritual than they really are. And look, I remember being in Bible college with a hyper-spiritual person. And there's a guy there, I remember this one time. This guy was so excessive, it's just laughable. Like, he would walk up and down the hallways reading his Bible out loud. He would go into the auditorium and just pray out loud. Because he wants people to think like, wow, this guy has a prayer life. This guy's reading the Bible out loud. In fact, you know, I remember being on a missions trip with Faith Forward Baptist Church. And, you know, this is when the McDoubles used to be there. What are those guys in the McPhails? You guys remember the McPhails? The twins? The twice dads? And, you know, we're on this missions trip. And one of the McPhails would every morning walk in front of my room reading the Bible in Spanish out loud. Just reading the Bible out loud. Just like out loud. And I'm just like, bro, I'm trying to sleep. You know? But it's just like, you know, just why do people do that? I'll tell you why. Because they want to portray themselves to be someone that they're not. Right. Okay? You're like, is it bad to try to want to be spiritual? No, of course it's not bad. But, you know, it's bad if you're only doing it like on the outside, but like behind closed doors, that's not you. Because at that point, you're just a fake. You're a phony. Okay? And so beware of those types of flatterers. They have an ulterior motive, you know. And they do this in order to blind your judgment. Proverbs chapter 20. Go to Proverbs chapter 20, if you would. Proverbs chapter 20. Proverbs chapter 20. People do this in order to blind the judgment of others. Now, it's interesting because, you know, as I mentioned, when I first got saved, I didn't really see this. I didn't really notice it. I couldn't really identify it. I didn't really know what flattery was. And in fact, to a certain degree, I thought flattery was a good thing, right? Isn't that what we would hear? Like, oh, you know, they're just trying to flatter them. It almost sounds like flattery in the world is almost like the same as a compliment. It's not necessarily seen in a negative, it doesn't have a negative connotation carried with it. And so, you know, excessive praise in my old church wasn't necessarily looked down upon. We just didn't know what it was or how dangerous it would be. It wasn't until later that I learned, oh man, this is actually pretty bad. We need to be careful with people who do these things. And it really taught me, like, I need to make sure that I'm just being as sincere as possible. Because, you know, a lot of times, you know, sometimes we get on old IFB churches because as soon as church ends, what do? They just kind of split, right? They're just like, they're gone. And my assessment of that is because, you know, first and foremost, they probably got to need to go see a football game or something. But secondly, here's my legitimate assessment of that. Why old IFB churches and just churches in general, because I think even non-denom churches do this, you know, they just split as soon as the service ends. It's because of this, because they're so fake, okay? The people are so fake, and it's tiring to be fake. It's exhausting to be fake. So, like, if you're after the service and you're just, like, on fake mode, what are you going to talk about? You just fake the entire time. Hey, brother. Hey, and after a while, it's just like, you got nothing else to talk about. Your face hurts. And so they're like, oh, man, the makeup's coming off. I got to get out of here. The fake makeup, you know. So in my opinion, that's the reason people split. Because they have nothing of substance to talk about. There's no depth to the conversation. So therefore, it's just like, we got to get out of here before the real me starts coming out. And you say, well, how long do you guys stay? Like 10 sometime? I don't know, 9, 10? People don't really have trouble fellowshipping here because everyone's just kind of real. You know, a little too real sometimes. The problem that we have here is excessive realness. You know? But open rebuke is better than secret love, right? The kisses of an enemy are deceitful. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. So you know what? I'd rather have someone who's just rough around the edges, someone who may insult me every once in a while, someone who's just completely real, than just a fake, phony brother in Christ who's just putting up a front because he wants others to think highly of them, and he only cares about his outward, you know, his Christian appearance rather than what's actually going on the inside. Okay? You know, and that's why people, I think, stick around in churches like ours because of the fact that there's some depth to our conversation. Right. And, you know, the conversations are hilarious and stuff too. We just have common interest and all that. But the point that I'm making here is that we need to make sure we recognize that flattery can blind your judgment. It says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 19, he that goeth about as a talebearer revealeth secrets. Therefore, meddle not with him that flattereth with his lips. The implication here is that a person will seek to flatter you to so that you let down your guard, you divulge information to them, and it's information they can use against you. And make no mistake about it, this can happen in a church like this. Okay? You know, if someone comes to you, ladies, you know, I already got on the guys. Let's talk about the ladies real quick. I got on the guys, right? You know, let's get on the ladies a little bit. You know, ladies, if someone comes to you and just like is excessively flattering towards you and they're just overly complimenting you, but they don't really know you that well, you know, you got to be aware of that. Because a lot of times people will do that in order for you to be like, oh, this person is a trustworthy individual because they seem to like me. They esteem me as being an important person, someone that's very close to them. And so you begin to divulge information to them that they want to use against you. That's a legitimate thing that happens. And you need to be careful with that. Okay? So here's how you can avoid that, ladies. First of all, don't be gossiping. Now, let me also say this, is that, you know, if some person, and we're talking about the ladies, comes to you and wants to just divulge information to you, just stop them. Just say, you know, I'm not really interested in knowing about that. I'm not interested in knowing about someone else's past. Okay? And I know they often share it as a prayer request. Pray for Miss Kelly. I love her so much. She's such a wonderful lady. She's an example. But let me tell you something. I'm only telling you this, okay? Because I trust you. Because I know you wouldn't say anything at all. What do? They're flattering you, you know, because they want to slander other people. Is what they want to do. So here's how you avoid it, you know, is just you just say, you know what, it's none of my business. And especially when it comes to sins of the past. Don't let people in our church bring up the sins of the past to you, especially if they've already moved on from it. That's something that was in their past. They're ashamed of it. It's not brought up. They've already been disciplined. They've already repented. They've already gotten it right. Don't bring it up again. And you say, well, why would that person bring it up? Oh, it could be because that person hates that individual or something. Or they have aught against that person, and so they want to accumulate more people to their side and make their minds evil affected against that person. That's how it works. You know, you could say, you know what, I'm not interested in listening to that. I'll pray for that person, but I don't need to know what that specific thing is for. If that was in the past, you know, the past is the past is the past. And if you feel like it's that big of a deal, then you need to go talk to the pastor about that. That's a good way to do it. Or you could say, or I could go talk to the pastor for you. And they'll be like, oh, no, it's okay. You're right. Yeah. That's how you do it. Stop bringing up people's past. Okay? Because, you know, we need to make sure we have unity in our church. But part of unity is defending one another as well. Against slander or bringing up the past of someone else. Like, what would be the purpose of that? What would be the constructive purpose behind bringing up someone else's past who's in our church, they're thriving, they have repented, they're serving God? It's not worth it. There's nothing good that can come out of that, okay? You know, don't meddle with that person who is flattering with their lips. And you know what? You're like, how do I know if they're flattering me? Well, how well do they know you and how accurate is the compliment they're giving about you? It's just like, hey, I see you. I see you just doing great things for God. I see how submissive you are. I see this. It's just like, all right, she's caking it on. She's caking it on right now. I need to make sure I prepare myself. If she's trying to gossip or slander, I need to stop it right then and there. So as soon as she says it, just say, praise God, and just like walk away. Okay. And look, let me just say this. Like, well, what if they're like confiding in me? You know, what if they want to talk about a situation and they're confiding in me? Well, here's the thing is that they're gossiping, number one. And number two, you should feel disrespected that they would choose you to gossip with. Because they're kind of viewing you as like someone who is willing to listen to that gossip. Let me also say this. Ladies, don't be gossiping about your husbands either. The only thing I want to hear about your husband is how great he is, how he's the best. And you know what? Let's hear a little more of that, amen? Let's hear some talk about that. Let's have some ladies just go around and talk about how great their husband. You hear that, Sarah? Go around and talk about how great the husbands are and why you're thankful for your husband. You know, here's a good way to just combat the temptation to want to talk crap about your husband. Go ahead and turn it around and start talking good about him. Oh, you know, but you don't know my husband. Number one, you married him. But number two, he's got some good qualities. Might take a little digging, you know, but he's got some good qualities about him. And here, I'll help you out. He's a safe Christian who's in church. How about that? He said, well, he's not in church. Well, he married you. Isn't that a great quality? Patience. Tolerance. Endurance. You know, the point that I'm making here is that sometimes gossiping and slander often comes first with flattery. Because it would look really bad if someone just came to you and just be like, I can't stand Kelly. You know what I mean? And then people, you know, the person's like, join the club. No, I'm just kidding. No, we love Kelly. I'm not flattering you. But, you know, it'll look really bad. So what do? Is that they have to kind of cake it on. They got to give it to you in layers. In order to, like, let down your guard so that they're willing to listen to whatever garbage you're going to tell them, whatever slander you're going to divulge to them. It's nonsense. And, you know, let me just also say this is that, you know, married couples, I know we want to help sometimes these single guys and single ladies. I'm all for that, you know, just kind of giving them some guidance. Unless you're just trying to tear them down or something. Okay? You know, and married couples need to just stay out of what these people are doing. Right? If they come to you asking for advice, you know, I try to stay out of their business unless, you know, they come and Christian asks for some advice or something like that, you know. For illustration's sake, you know, I will try to be as discreet as possible. And I, you know, the only time I would give advice like that is like if I'm welcomed into that world. Okay? Like if Adrian comes up to me and he wants my opinion on a particular matter regarding dated advice or whatever, I'll give him that. But even then, I'll be honest with you. Like sometimes I just tread lightly because I'm not his dad. You know what I mean? Like I'm not his authority in that area. He's going to have to pull that out of me. But you know one thing I'm not going to do? I'm not just going to go to Christian and just give him every single piece of advice and what I think he should be doing. And this is what you got to do. And this is the right girl you got to. I'm not going to do that. That's not my business. Unless Christian is just going after some prostitute. Unless he's just trying to go for some whore, some prostitute, some OnlyFans chick or something like that. At that point, I'm going to speak up. You know what I mean? At that point, I'm going to be like, hey, bro, what are you doing? You're embarrassing yourself here, bro. Like, you're going for a prostitute? You know, what are you, Hosea? You trying to be Hosea? I feel like I would have, the permission to go to you and correct you about that. He gives me permission to say a lot of stuff to him, but I would definitely say something about that. But let me say this. If he's talking to another Christian girl and, he's doing things appropriately, that's none of my business. Let's say he's going for someone that I don't approve of, which it's not going to happen because he's not my son. But let's just say it was someone I didn't approve of or something. Why would I even correct? He's not my son. He's not my son. He's a grown man. He can make his own decisions. And if he wants advice, he'll come ask me. And if he doesn't, then he doesn't. Well, I'm just really concerned about, keep your concerns to yourself. Okay? It's none of your business. And especially if you're not a person of influence over their lives already, then it's definitely none of your business. You understand what I'm saying? Like if it's not already a person, like, I'm sure Maury has a lot of right to like advise these guys and correct them, and they're not going to be offended at it. They're not going to be like, who do you think you are trying to tell me? I'm sure they'll welcome Maury's counsel, or at least now they will after I said this. He's been a big influence in their life, okay? And so, I'm sure they'll welcome that. But if you're not in that position, then why would you even say anything? Just stay out of it. Focus on your marriage. And let me also say this, okay? And I'm saying this as discreetly as I can, trying to be as sensitive as I can. If your marriage sucks, you should not be given any advice. That wasn't that sensitive, huh? Okay? If your marriage is on the rocks, you shouldn't be given any advice. Work on your own marriage. How about this? Take your own advice. How about you implement the advice that you want to dish out before you give it to someone else? How about get a subscription to that first? Work on that first, and let's see if it works out for you. And then if you succeed in that area, you can help someone else. But don't go around trying to advise other people on how to marry and how to run their marriage and this, that, and the other if you haven't succeeded in that area. I'm not a plumber. I'm not going to go tell Adrian how to be a plumber. I don't know how to flush. That's hot water, cold water. That's about it. I'm not going to tell him, hey, I really think you should be doing it this way. Why? I don't have no experience in that. And if I haven't succeeded in an area, then I'm not going to try to get you to adhere to me. Well, I just have some concerns. And you should be concerned with your marriage. Be concerned with making your husband happy. Be concerned with making your wife happy. It doesn't have anything to do with flattery, but it does somehow. Don't meddle with people who try to flatter you in order to criticize you. And look, I dealt with this a lot when I was dating my wife. Okay? She wasn't my wife at the time. And I still date her, by the way. I remember this. Like, a lot of people were hating. There's a lot of haters. They did not want me to marry Sarah. Mainly it was the assistant pastors. They didn't want me to marry her because they're just like, that's our pastor's daughter. And, he got saved when he was 21. It's none of your business. Mind your own business. And he would go to my brother-in-law and say, I'm telling you this because I care. And Sarah's like a little sister to me. But I really do think that you should break that relationship off, though. I'm just telling you. I'm saying it because I care. No, you don't. You say it because you're a hater. You're saying it because you are a little buster. You're a buster. You're a hater. You're lame. You know, you're a lot of other things. And, you know, but he would come. He was just like, I'm just saying because you know me. I really care for your family. I really want what's best for Sarah. And I think you should just call the whole thing off. You know, and luckily, you know, my brother-in-law was like, all right, I appreciate it. But, you know, they're pretty deep into it. And they're probably going to get married and all that stuff or whatever. And so he's just like, well, I'm just saying, you know, you should probably, I just don't think he's the right one for it. What business is that of yours? It's none of your business. And here we are, happily ever after. You know, we're happy in our marriage. She gets to do everything I tell her to do. It's an awesome marriage. She gets to be in submission to me and make me food and fold my clothes and bear children and guide the house. It's a wonderful life that she gets to have. Well, all these feminists are all mad at me right now. But you know, you'll have people like that. Mind your own business. Take care of your own backyard. You know, do landscaping on your own backyard. You take care of your stuff. You know, don't get involved in other people's business, because a lot of the times they want to get involved, not because they actually care. It's because they want to destroy something. They want to take something that maybe they didn't get to have or something like that. Okay? Yeah, that's it. So, you know, what's the point here? The point is, you know, you need to make sure you pay attention to the words that come out of people's mouths, you know, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh, all right? No worries. You know, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So, you know, obviously, this is not a sermon telling you, hey, don't compliment people. You know, you shouldn't be rude either, you know? If it comes from a heart of sincerity and truth, and people did a good job, you know, the orchestra's doing a good job, the piano player's doing a good job. You know, I do praise, for example, I praise Connor quite a bit, because Connor is coming out with these bangers on these hymns. They're just really good. And I'm very impressed by them. I said, man, you're doing a great job. Why? Because, you know, as the Bible says that as a fining pot for silver and a furnace for gold, so is a man to his praise. And that can really be interpreted two ways. The first way it could be interpreted is like when you praise someone, it kind of purifies them a little bit, you know? It gives them something to strive for. It helps them to kind of do better. But it also means that when you praise someone, it kind of shows you who they really are too. Because like a furnace reveals the gold, right? The fire reveals the silver. And when a man is praised, you know, based upon how he responds to that praise kind of shows you who he really is. If he's just like, he walks away thinking he's, you know, all that. He's just like, yeah, yeah. Then obviously he's a prideful person. But if he deflects the praise and he's like, you know, praise the Lord, or, you know, these other people help me. Like sometimes, you know, I'll praise Alex, and Alex also equally does a good job with the music. Like he's also, you know, he's doing the thing and putting the music to the, to Connor's words and stuff. And anytime I'm like, man, that sounded great. Every time I praise him, and he's just like, Connor, this guy's just like, he's killing. He's just, Connor's did this and Connor did that. And I'm just like, yeah, but you're doing a good job. And he's just like, my wife is the one who came up with this and she's doing that. And man, they just got an ear for this. Obviously, it's kind of revealing that he's just a humble person in that area, right? The furnace and the fire is kind of revealing that of him. And so the point that I'm making here is just, you know, be aware of flatterers. Make sure that you are attuned to people who are excessively praising you. They're kind of going overboard about it. And, you know, if that's you, and maybe it's part of your culture, who you are, to just excessively praise, okay, you better make sure you don't have some sort of ulterior motive behind it. Where it's just like, well, I've kind of just always done it that way. That's just kind of how I was raised. Well, you just better make sure that you're sincere about it. Don't be a fake. Don't be a phony, amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for your word. Help us as your people to detect deception when it comes our way. And I pray that, Lord, you would guide and direct our steps. Help us to grow in our discernment, Lord, to abhor deceit, lies, and flattery. But also not at the exclusion of complimenting others when they do a good job, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to do so as well. Help us to be balanced. And we love you. We thank you. Pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Song number 112, Be Still My Soul. That's our last song. Song number 112. Song number 112.